Morning, all the night, and in between it's nicotine and not much heart to fight. Black coffee, feeling low as the ground. It's driving me crazy, this waiting for my baby to maybe come around.
Well, that was nice. Elkie Brooks and Black Coffee from 1993, and she's very much an underrated jazz singer. I remember fondly her work with Humphrey Littleton. Well, I'll be back at 4 o'clock next Saturday with more of your jazz record requests. But now, here on BBC Radio 3, it's time for Claire Martin and Jazz Lineup.
Out of the tree of life, I just picked me a plum. You came along and everything started to hum. Still, it's a real good bet, the best is yet to come.
The unmistakable voice of one of the greats, Tony Bennett. And stay tuned to hear a very special profile of the legendary vocalist. We'll hear from Bennett's biographer, vocalist Joe Stilgo, and from Tony Bennett himself. Also, my guest today is the musical director extraordinaire, Dave Arch, who I'm sure lots of you will be familiar with, from the popular Strictly Come Dancing TV show. Well, he's realised his dream of releasing his own CD featuring no less than 80 of the best musicians in town, and he'll be telling me all about that later on. Well, 2016 continues to be the year of so many great losses in the entertainment world, and the jazz scene sadly has not escaped its own blows. One of the most individual and important saxophonists, the sincere, unique, brilliant and witty Bobby Wellens, passed away aged 80 on the 27th of October. Bobby's warmth, humour, sound and fluency of expression was unmatched, and so many of us felt his passing very deeply. Bobby was widely known for his collaboration with pianist Stan Tracy, who this next piece is dedicated to, and it's taken from Bobby's album, Don't Worry About Me, and it's called Tracery. Thank you. From his 1997 album, Don't Worry About Me, recorded at the Vortex Jazz Club, that was the master himself, Bobby Wellens on tenor, with Graham Harvey at the piano, Alec Dankworth on bass, and Martin Drew on drums and tracery, dedicated to his great pal, Stan Tracy. And you can still listen and download the Bobby Wellens editions of Jazz Library on the Radio 3 website. It's still streamable, and it's downloadable as a podcast. Bobby Wellens, a genius who will be so very much missed by us all. Well, the Cambridge Jazz Festival is gearing up for its opening night on the 16th of November, and it will run for 12 days in 25 venues to the 27th of the month. And this year they've got a terrific lineup of world-class acts, including Phrenesis, Anita Wardell, Nicky Ars with Karen Sharp, Alan Barnes and Soweto Kinch. Well, one of the artists also playing at the festival is bassist Misha Mulavabado, and he's been performing today on our jazz lineup stage as part of the London Jazz Festival. We're capturing all the action at the Claw Ballroom right now at the South Bank Centre for future broadcast, including sets by Oren Marshall, Tony Kofi, Candice Springs, Shez Raja and Misha. Well, let's hear a track from Misha, and this is from his debut album out on the Edition record label. And I love this. It's called Lock, Stock and Shuffle. Thank you. Shermuel of Abado with his composition Lock, Stock and Shuffle, taken from his album New Ansonia. And he was playing with Matt Hurd on sax, Tom Green on trombone, Jacob Collier on piano and Scott Chapman on the drums. You're listening to Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Claire Martin, bringing you the very best of jazz. And still to come on the show, Dave Arch will be joining me. And many of you might know him as the musical director of the hugely popular Strictly Come Dancing television show. Well, I'll be talking to him about his debut release, Coming Home. BBC Music Jazz is a four-day digital pop-up station which is currently on air to tie in with the London Jazz Festival. And I've had the great pleasure of being involved with three programmes, each of them about musicians that have had a real impact on me as an artist. One of the shows celebrates the life and music of my late friend and musical partner, Sir Richard Rodney Bennett. And the other is a celebration of the life and work of the UK's First Lady of Jazz, Dame Cleo Lane. And the one we're about to hear an excerpt from comes from our Godfathers of Jazz series, and it shines a light on the legend, that is, the great singer Tony Bennett. On the show, I'm joined by singer-songwriter Joe Stilgo to wax lyrical about all things Tony, and you'll also hear Bennett's biographer contributing and the great man himself. Well, let's start with a great track, and it's Tony's rendition of the fabulous standard Close Your Eyes.
Close your eyes, rest your head on my shoulder and sleep. Close your eyes, and I will close mine. Close your eyes, let's pretend that we're both counting sheep. Close your eyes, this is divine. Something dreamy for dancing while we're here romancing. It's love's holiday, and love will be our guide. Close your eyes. When you open them, dear, I'll be near by your side. So won't you close your eyes? And it's love's holiday, and love will be our guide. Close your eyes. When you open them, dear, I'll be near by your side. So won't you close your eyes? So won't you close your eyes?
Taken from the album Tony Bennett Jazz, featuring Count Basie, Nat Adderley and Stan Getz. That was Close Your Eyes, beautifully leading us into the journey. That is the Tony Bennett story. With me is fellow jazz singer and Tony Bennett fan Joe Stilgo. Hello, Joe.
Hello, Claire.
Also coming up, we'll hear thoughts from Tony Bennett's biographer, David Evanier, and from Tony Bennett himself. Joe, what is it about Tony Bennett that makes him so special for you?
His career has just lasted, hasn't it? He started off in the 50s, a bit later than Sinatra, and his voice has evolved. He's got a whole new audience, really, especially with his new duets project and Lady Gaga. And I just think he's a great singer in its distilled form. He's just a brilliant vocalist, so that's why I love him.
Is he somebody that you listened to a lot as you were getting into singing?
Yeah, well, we're going to play a track that was the first time I'd ever seen or heard of Tony Bennett, and he did this album called MTV Unplugged, which was a massive thing, I'm sure, for MTV to say, let's get Tony Bennett. And he turned up with Ralph Sharon on piano, an older guy, plus his amazing drummer, Clayton Cameron. I was 15, I think, when that happened, and we all thought this is the coolest thing we've ever seen. You know, this old guy in a nice suit with grey hair and big glasses, like,
Fantastic.
He was brilliant.
Well, before we hear that, let's hear Tony talking about how important the family connection was as part of his upbringing and how he was exposed to making music at home in his early years with his close relatives, his aunts, his uncles and his cousins.
They'd come over every Sunday and help my mother out because my father died when I was real young, and they were beautiful people. They were so warm and supportive for my mom, who was a seamstress. And so when the weekend came, they would all come over and put my brother, my sister, and I in a circle, and they would all take out their guitars and mandolins and have us perform for them. And we couldn't wait for each weekend, you know. It made me want to do it.
Oh, I'd love to have been there on those special Sundays. Well, Joe, it's been great fun picking the music together for this celebration of Tony Bennett. Now, you've talked about the first track, but what's the title?
This is Stepping Out With My Baby, made famous by a stare, and you'll hear on the track that Tony Bennett actually starts off talking to his amazing drummer, Clayton Cameron, who is the best brush drummer, you know, around. It's great, and as I said, this is the first time I'd seen or heard of Tony Bennett. This was my launch pad.
Should we keep going? Yeah! All right, you got it. You know, Clayton, every time I hear that Fred Astaire beat that you're playing with those brushes, I feel like singing some Fred Astaire songs. With those brushes, could you let me hear a little Fred Astaire? Stepping out with my baby, can't go wrong cause I'm in right. It's for sure, not for maybe, that I'm all dressed up tonight. Stepping out with my baby, can't be bad to feel so good. Never felt quite so sunny that I keep on knocking wood. They'll be smooth sailing cause I'm trimming my sails with my top hat and my white tie and my tails. Stepping out with my baby, can't go wrong cause I'm in right. Ask me when will that day be? The big day may be tonight. If I seem too scintillate, it's because I've got a date with a package of the good things that come with love. You don't have to ask me, I won't waste your time. But if you should ask me why I feel sublime, take it, Ralph, dance. I'm trimming my sails with my top hat and my white tie and my tails. Stepping out with my baby, can't go wrong cause I'm in right. Ask me when will that day be? The big day may be too.
Stepping out with my baby, that was Tony Bennett. And what a fantastic audience, Joe.
Oh, it sounds like it would have been the greatest gig to be there because everyone was so excited. They're obviously fans from, you know, the past who'd been there and some new younger fans who were just so excited about this incredible music.
It's everything you want in an audience.
I know. Can we cart them around with us?
Well, let's hear from Tony Bennett's biographer, David Evernier, painting a picture of what Tony's like on stage and how he originally started with another career plan in mind.
Tony loves performing, he loves to sing, and he's still kind of a miracle on stage. I don't think anyone loves to sing more than Tony Bennett, and he summons up enormous energy on stage. I think that his stage performances now are better than his recordings. He feels the energy coming from the love of the audience. He's wonderful to watch on stage. He is enjoying his success, this reinvention of himself. I think he loves every minute of it. His love affair with music began very early on, although he initially planned to be a painter, and ultimately he developed into a very fine painter later on. But in the early years, he saw Count Basie and Duke Ellington and Billie Holiday, and he very early on started to sing. It became his passion in life.
The loveliness of Paris seems somehow sadly gay. The glory that was Rome is of another day. I've been terribly alone and forgotten in Manhattan. I'm going home to my city by the bay. I left my heart in San Francisco. High on a hill, it calls to me to be where little cable cars climb halfway to the stars. The morning fog may chill the air. I don't care. My love waits there in San Francisco. Above the blue,
we couldn't do this tribute without including that classic Tony Bennett hit, which he started singing back in 1961 at the famous Venetian Room at the Fairmont Hotel in San Francisco. And in fact, they've very recently erected a bronze statue of him outside the hotel in his honour. I Left My Heart in San Francisco was brought to Tony's attention by his long-term pianist, the brilliant Ralph Sharon. And it's really become his song, hasn't it, Joe?
When I was playing piano bars and cruise ships, that was always the song. People would go, Left My Heart in San Francisco, request it wherever we were. Why are all these people not from San Francisco requesting that song? Mm. But as you were just saying off air, wouldn't you love to be from San Francisco and have that as your kind of song you could carry around the world with us? I mean, where are you from? Collier's Wood.
Yeah, there's not going to be I Left My Heart in Collier's Wood, is it? Unfortunately.
Or Seven Oaks from me.
Well, let's hear some more fascinating stuff from Tony Bennett's biographer, and he gives us more insights into Bennett's early years.
Tony is very much a child of the Depression years. He has very warm feelings of those years, particularly because he had a truly blessed childhood. He came from a traditional Italian family. His father ran a grocery store and was very idealistic. He would teach Tony about Paul Robeson, about Gandhi. He would read great works of literature to Tony, like Of Human Bondage by Somerset Maugham. Unfortunately, he died when Tony was 9 years old was very shattering for him. But he had a terrific family. His mother was very supportive of him. They were very poor. His mother was a seamstress. She earned a penny a dress, and she worked 12 hours a day. Tony and his brother, John, would help her go to the subway in the morning, carrying the dresses, pick her up at night. Tony was very affected by how hard his mother had to work. And one of his real motivations as a singer was to be able to rescue his mother from factory work. As soon as he began to make a living, he immediately called her and told her to quit her job, bought her a beautiful house in River Edge, New Jersey. He loved his mother deeply, and he was very, very enveloped in Italian tradition, and it was a tradition of music and tolerance. The Depression years were years where he saw a great deal of camaraderie among people because they needed to help each other. He never forgot those years, and of course, he went from that family into World War II.
Because of you, there's a song in my heart. Because of you, my romance had its start. Because of you, the sun will shine, the moon and stars will say are mine forever and never. And smile because of you.
From the album Because of You, that was Tony Bennett singing Because of You, and a lovely choice, Joe. And he sounds different there, doesn't he?
Thank you. Yeah, it was really hard to pick all these tracks, as you know. But I was trying to get, you know, the different range of his voice and the different styles that he had throughout his career. And this was 51, I think, so this was his first big hit. And it sounds like the more Mario Lanza, sort of that really Italian style, almost operatic.
Well, Tony Bennett was a huge fan of Frank Sinatra, and Frank once famously said of Tony, "For my money, he's the best singer in the business." That's not a bad quote for your press release. Well, here's Tony enthusing about seeing him back in those early days.
I used to go to the Paramount and see him, and God, that was the best period of music in the United States, you know, and he sang. It was the best kind of singing that I ever heard. I loved it. You know, he has that, if you were not to compare it, but in opera, like De Stefano has this beautiful melodic voice that I like better than any of the opera singers. And Sinatra had that quality, he had that golden voice, you know, that just a musicality about it, a great musicality. Not just to say, well, what a great voice, you know. It was more than that. It was just very musical, up in his brain and his heart. And through the years, he just became my best friend. You know, it's amazing. I couldn't believe it. You know, here I was sitting in the Paramount, sitting through seven shows a day, listening to him, and then to know that now he's my best friend in the whole business, it's unbelievable.
Wonderful to hear that love and respect between Tony and Frank and about the lasting friendship that he had with Sinatra. Did you know they were friends, Joe?
I didn't know they were friends. I knew there was that quote that Sinatra said, he really enjoyed his singing. You know, you always think it's kind of competition back then because there were so many guys who sang in that crooning jazzy style. Mm. So it's great that they all went to see each other's gigs and they all knew each other and were friends. Kind of hope they were sharing a glass of something nice.
I'm sure they were. Well, they were also sharing great musicians and singing in the same orchestras and bands. And here's Tony Bennett now singing with Basie's band, and it's Chicago.
Toddling town, Chicago, Chicago, I'll show you around. Bet your bottom dollar you lose the blues in Chicago, Chicago, the town that Marty Faye could not shut down. On State Street, that great street, I just want to say they do things that they don't do on Broadway. Say they have the time of their life. I saw a man, he danced with his wife in Chicago. Time of their life. I saw a man, he danced with his wife in Chicago. In Chicago. In Chicago.
What a fantastic partnership. Count Basie with Tony Bennett singing Chicago, and absolutely fascinating stuff taken from my Godfathers of Jazz programme for BBC Music Jazz. Other Godfathers of Jazz featured are Sonny Rollins, Herbie Hancock and Lalo Schifrin. And there'll be more on that Tony Bennett programme later on today's show. For more information on BBC Music Jazz, check out bbc.co.uk/music. But you're listening to Jazz Lineup for all the best in jazz with me, Claire Martin, on BBC Radio 3. Dave Arch is a pianist, conductor and arranger with a prolific career covering albums, film and commercials, and perhaps his best known role as musical director for the BAFTA winning television hit Strictly Come Dancing. What many people don't know is that his early musical influences are very much jazz. We just heard one of the great jazz musicians that Dave has worked with, Tony Bennett, and I'll be asking him all about that after we hear the opening track of his eagerly anticipated debut album, Coming Home. This is Dave's composition, Hello. We'll be right back. taken from his debut album Coming Home. That was Dave Arch with the track Hello, featuring Paul Stacey on guitar, Nigel Hitchcock on alto saxophone, and Andy Greenwood on muted trumpet. Well, I'm pleased to say Dave is with me now to tell me all about the album. Dave, welcome to Jazz Lineup.
Thank you for having me.
Well, your beginnings were with the National Youth Jazz Orchestra, Nigel. Was it during this time that you realised you had a flair for writing and arranging? Because it was such a good place to cut your teeth.
It was a wonderful learning ground. I didn't write as much then as I do now. I used to write a lot of small group jazz things.
Yeah.
Mostly playing at that time. I was at the Guildhall School of Music studying classical piano.
Oh, really?
Would you believe?
Okay. You've come to the dark side.
I was always on the dark side. And I just met all of the people that are on this record. I pretty much know from those days.
Brilliant.
I wrote a few big band charts, but most of what I did actively then was small group stuff.
But still a good chance to see if you could do it or not.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So who are your influences as an arranger at that time? I mean, you know, your album's epic. You've got 80 musicians on it. But starting out, who did you sort of want to be like?
I mean, I've always listened to music as a whole. So starting with classical, arranging is the process of getting different sounds and builds out of different groups of instruments. So
yep.
Whether that be jazz or classical or anything, even electronic, you still think in terms of colours and sounds. I mean, jazz-wise, my dad had Ella Fitzgerald in the house. He had Billy May. He had Nelson Riddle. He had everything. Oscar Peterson. This is my early... This was what I listened to when I was 6 years old. So all of this stuff... all of these
seeped
great,
in.
Yeah, I mean, it's wonderful. Obviously, Johnny Mandel is everybody's favourite arranger. And latterly, I was Vince Mendoza, who I've had the pleasure of working with several times, is astonishing. He's got his own voice, which is unusual as an arranger. A lot of arranging work, they don't want you to have your own voice. I'm lucky enough to have done a couple of albums with him.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're so prolific. You've done so much in your career. Has this just been on hold until the right time, or have you spent the time writing the tunes?
I always wanted to do it. It's just being a typical musician. It's getting round to it, getting to do it. Most of it I wrote, apart from two or three tunes, I sat down one February, having come out of a very heavy period of work where I'd been working in television, and I just needed to do something more creative for me. And I wrote it all over the period of a month. Planned it, made it happen. So recording-wise, writing to recording took me about 4 months.
So tell me about the concept of this next Roll the Dice. Are you a sort of secret late-night gambler? Come on, spread it out.
No gambling, no. Sometimes I think in cinematic terms. I just get an image in my head. In this case, I'm thinking of Las Vegas, I'm thinking of the casinos, I'm thinking of maybe a bit retro.
It's Roll the Dice from Coming Home, Lawrence Cutler on bass, and the trombone of Mark Nightingale. Roll the Dice, taken from Dave Archer's debut album, Coming Home, and Dave's with me in the studio now. But you must get stopped in the street because, I mean, millions of people see you waving at them from their television screens with Strictly Come Dancing. Do people sort of recognise you? I mean, you...
Not unless I go around with a pair of headphones on.
That's true, yeah.
It's taken me quite a few years to get the confidence to wave. They always laugh at me through the headphones that...
Sweet.
On that shot, yes.
Let's talk about your career, because you've played with some of the greats and some of my absolute personal favourites. Joni Mitchell, Natalie Cole, the great Madeline Bell. I know you do Ronnie Scott's with her every year. And Tony Bennett. Now, Tony Bennett we're featuring on the show today because he's one of our godfathers of jazz. What was he like to work with? It must be a real highlight of your career, that.
Yeah, amazing. I conducted for him, actually. I was the musical director of the Royal Variety. It was quite funny, actually, because the trio was on the stage and the orchestra was down in the pit. They were quite a way backstage. And I could see everybody. The musicians couldn't see the trio. And his MD, who was playing the piano, Lee Musiker, I think he was called, gave me a bassoon part. So I had to conduct.
From a bassoon part.
Lucky I know the song.
That's hilarious. And then you stopped and then he picked it up from stage. Oh, that would have been an amazing thing. But I mean, what about Joni Mitchell? I mean, do you ever sort of get nervous working with these great
names? Of course.
Yeah, of course. Was she nice?
Very nice. I did an album with Vince Mendoza called Both Sides Now. And she was live with us in the studio. Peter Erskine was on drums. Vince was conducting. I turned up to the studio and looked through the piano pad. Half the tune said Herbie on it. So that obviously wasn't me. I did the
Fantastic.
Other half. I did the other half. It was spine tingling, all live. She sang live.
Fantastic. Well, the last pick of the album, Dave, is Three Amigos. Tell us about this track.
This came about because of my son. I wanted to write something with him. I wrote something with my dad for the album, and I wanted to write something with Thomas. He was a student at Leeds College studying the guitar. He'd come back all the time. Listen to this, Dad. There's always something in 15-8 or something in some weird time signatures going on, and always nothing ever simple. So he was really into the technical thing, and as music students quite often are. And So we sat down and wrote something, he came up with some chords, and I came up with a thing in 5, which he really liked, really related to. And then, being a guitarist, I thought, let's write another section. The Three Amigos analogy is three different sections of music. And so it goes into a little heavy rock thing for a bit, for 8 bars, and then it comes back into a more ethereal thing. He's a guitarist, so we wanted to put guitar all over this track. So... who better than Paul Stacey and John Paracelli, who come from different places, and so we featured both of them in different areas of this track.
Brilliant.
Soloing.
Well, thanks for coming in and telling us all about it. Coming Home, the album, your debut, surely not your only album in your lifetime. I'm waiting for the next one. And this is Three Amigos. Thank you very much, Dave.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
Dave Arch with his composition Three Amigos, and that's taken from his debut album Coming Home, which is out now on the Diploma label. Well, Dave and I talked there about his experience with working with the amazing singer Tony Bennett, who has turned 90 years old this year. Well, now let's hear the second excerpt from our Godfathers of Jazz programme, which you can hear in its full entirety on the BBC Music Jazz pop-up digital radio station. That's running now, and it's available via the iPlayer radio app for 30 days. So coming up, you'll hear me with the singer-songwriter Joe Stilgo, as well as Bennett's biographer and Tony Bennett himself. But first, here he is with one of his signature songs, The Best Is Yet to Come.
Out of the tree of life, I just picked me a plum. You came along and everything started to hum. Still, it's a real good bet, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine? You think you've seen the sun, but you ain't seen it shine. Wait till the warm-up's underway. Wait till our lips have met. Wait till you see that sunshine day. You ain't seen nothing yet. The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine? The best is yet to come. Come the day you're mine. Come the day you're mine. I'm gonna teach you to fly. We've only tasted the wine. We're gonna drain a cup dry. Wait till your charms are ripe for these arms to surround. You think you've flown before, but you ain't left the ground. Wait till you're locked in my embrace. Wait till I draw you near. Wait till you see that sunshine place. Ain't nothing like it here. The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine? The best is yet to come. Come the day you're mine. Oh, out of a tree of life, I just picked me a plum.
The Best Is Yet to Come, sung by Tony Bennett. Well, it wasn't just songs from the Great American Songbook Bennett sang. In 1951, he had a huge success with a composition that surprised many. Here's Tony recalling a phone call he received from a country superstar.
Hank Williams called me up. The record sold 2 million albums, and it was unheard of. It was the first country song that went international, because before it would just, they were just selling the Bible Belt, and it would stay there. 350,000 in the Bible Belt. All of a sudden, here's this record that goes international. And Percy Faith's orchestra, who's a great musician from Canada, he had this big string background, completely unlike the way country music was done in those days. So I get a call from Hank Williams, and he said, Tony? I said, yes, Mr. Williams. He said, what's the idea of ruining my song? But actually, he did it as a gag. I found out later in a biography that I read about him that he loved the song, and whenever there was a jukebox, he would play it.
I tried so hard, my dear, to show that you're my every dream. Yet you're afraid each thing I do is just some evil scheme. A memory from your lonesome past keeps us so far apart. Why can't I free your doubtful mind and melt your cold, cold heart?
another love before my time made your heart sad and blue. And so my heart is paying now for things I didn't do. In anger, unkind words are said that make the teardrop start. Why can't I free your doubtful mind and melt your cold, cold heart? There was a time when I believed that you belonged to me, but now I know your heart is shackled to a memory. The more I learn to care for you, the more we drift apart. Why can't I free your doubtful mind and melt your cold, cold heart?
The Hank Williams classic Cold, Cold Heart, given the Tony Bennett treatment. Quite unusual that he sort of went for different material outside of the Great American Songbook. That's all credit to him, really, isn't it?
Yeah, really interesting. He still does that to this day with the people he works with. He's always looking to stretch beyond the boundaries of the Great American Songbook and the jazzy sort of bubble that others would find themselves in.
Well, let's talk about the great collaboration with Bill Evans, the wonderful pianist.
Oh, yes. This is probably one of my Desert Island albums, if I can mention that show. And also kind of slightly modify it. It's the best of both of them, really. Bill Evans as an accompanist, which he didn't do that often. And Tony Bennett just singing an absolute dream. He was obviously so relaxed. I mean, if there are any vocal students out there who want to listen to how to sing standards, you can't beat these because they're just, there's not even that much jazz in it, really, is there? He sings the song. It's just really interesting. And this song, Young and Foolish, you know, this is 1975 when he recorded this album, so he was getting on a bit, but, you know, he brings so much. He almost sounds as young as he ever was on these.
So passionate, isn't he?
Yeah.
Really, really passionate. And I love the idea that any worries about the hardcore jazz audience accepting a sort of crooning singer, Tony Bennett, apparently he said to Bill Evans, "You don't bring your cronies and I won't bring mine," which I thought was terrific. So there's totally stripped back, just piano and voice. Two legends, here they are with Young and Foolish.
Young and foolish. Why is it wrong to be young and foolish? We haven't long to be. Soon enough, the carefree days, the sunlit days go by. Soon enough, the bluebird has to fly. One day we fell in love. Now we wonder what we were dreaming of. Smiling in the sunlight, laughing in the rain.
again. Sunlight, laughing in the rain. I wish that we were young and foolish again.
Young and Foolish, one of the classic songs associated with Tony Bennett, and that was from his famous duet album with Bill Evans, and that's from the first album they recorded together. Well, it wasn't all plain sailing and good times for Tony Bennett. There were many dark days, and from the mid-1960s through to the 70s, there were some tough times for Tony. Here's David again to pick up the story.
Well, the darker times for Tony probably began with the advent of rock and roll, because Tony had had a string of huge successes of albums and songs. With the advent of rock and roll, his position at Columbia Records was eroded. There was a new head in charge, Clive Davis, who had very little interest in great American music. The idea was to get into the latest trend. Tony has always held out for quality music, Gershwin, Berlin, Rodgers and Hart. And there were darker days, particularly with his second marriage, when he went to Hollywood for a while, living with his second wife. And there, he was caught up in an atmosphere of drugs and addiction. It was just generally known that he was going through these rough times. And the song, The Good Life, is a song so ironic about where you hide all the sadness you feel, could sum up how Tony felt in those Hollywood years. He detested the superficiality of California. There were good things as well. Fred Astaire was a neighbor of his, one of his idols. He loved having contact with Fred Astaire. But his period in Hollywood wound up with a drug overdose. His wife, Sandra Grant, actually saved his life. She pounded on his chest. He was in the bathtub. Probably the lowest point of Tony's career at that point.
Oh, the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. The good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, for you can't take the chance. So please be honest with yourself. Don't try to fake romance. It
it's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you, and in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss the good life goodbye.
Tony Bennett singing The Good Life. Well, it wasn't an easy time for Tony Bennett, but things would soon change when his son Danny got involved as his manager. With a stroke of genius, found him a brand new, younger audience.
Well, what happened with the recovery years was, Tony was always a terrible businessman. What Danny did was to relieve Tony of all those practical matters and allow him to simply be the artist that he was born to be. And Danny turned out to be an extremely astute businessman and launched Tony in such a way that he made him understood to younger generations who recognize in him authenticity. So Tony, in a sense, has been liberated from practical matters that plagued him for many years.
Joe, really great to hear about that turn of events for Tony.
Well, yeah, I suppose I was that younger audience and I loved it. It was a thrill to see this guy who was much, much older than me, but doing the music I loved and was just getting into and doing it in a way that was fresh, but still performing the old songs he used to do and just making it, you know, sounded so great and relevant for the time.
Well, another important and key element to Tony's work were his collaborations with other artists. So let's hear more from his biographer, David.
Well, his collaborations have been a source of tremendous joy to him. Count Basie, he worshipped. His recordings with Count Basie are among the greatest he ever made. Tony was the only performer who insisted on his name being billed beneath that of Count Basie. This is the feeling of admiration that he had for these jazz musicians. Duke Ellington would send Tony 12 red roses whenever Ellington had composed a new song. They were very close. Duke Ellington taught him that he should learn how to do two things a day, not just the singing, but the painting. And he saw that Duke Ellington was creative at every moment of his life, and he learned a lot from that. Also, Duke Ellington provided him with a wonderful present in New York. Tony was at this very low point. He was separated from his second wife. It was a cold winter day, and he was alone in his hotel. And suddenly he heard a chorus outside. He didn't know where it was coming from. He thought it was coming from the street. And this chorus was singing, "On a clear day you can see forever." He opened his door, and Ellington had sent the full chorus from this Broadway musical to serenade Tony.
On a clear
that the glow of your beam outshines every star. You'll feel part of every mountain, sea, and shore. You can never heard before, and on a clear day, on that clear day, you can see forever and ever.
Tony Bennett with On a Clear Day, taken from the album Something, which was recorded back in 1970. Such drama always in his delivery, Joe, and a really intelligent approach to lyrics.
Yeah, always impeccable phrasing and diction and all the things that should be so obvious for a singer. Mm. But for Tony Bennett, that's kind of his calling card.
Well, Tony Bennett's love affair with New York is well documented, and he's often seen in Central Park sketching alone. I love the idea that people just don't hustle him, they just let him draw. So let's hear more about this from his biographer, David Evanier.
Tony loves New York. He's always walking on the streets by himself, no entourage. Sinatra would have 10, 15 men with him. Tony is by himself enjoying the city, and at 9/11... he spontaneously went down to the Blue Note and he attended a concert there, and he got up and sang two songs in a way to lift the spirits of the city at a time when we were going through such desolation. That was his way of expressing his solidarity with the people of the city that he loved.
A man clearly in love with the Big Apple. Joe, there really isn't anyone to compare to Tony Bennett, is there? I mean, here he is, 90 years old, still putting on a show like a man half his age. His love of life comes over.
Completely. I always think the mark of a great singer or a performer is that as soon as you've heard them, like 2 seconds, you know who it is. Mm. And that's Tony Bennett, whether it's that 1950s track we played earlier, where he sounds like, you know, Italian, sort of sitting on the gondola in Venice and kind of singing that incredibly operatic style, or the truly swinging style he developed. He celebrates life. He, you know, he didn't shy away from the darker content and darker repertoire.
Yeah. But he's lived a life, hasn't he?
He's completely lived a life.
Up and down, yeah. Left and right. He's really done it.
It feels like that's the only way you can still be singing, because he's still got stuff to be exulting about, stuff to be thankful for.
Well, let's hear one last time from Tony's biographer, David Evanier, talking about Tony's agelessness.
Well, Tony in his 90th year is the same Tony Bennett. He is open, he is a work in progress, as he would say, and he's an eternal student. So at 90, as at 50 or at 20, He is alive, vibrant, painting in the park, fine, and looking forward to, I think, many years of creative work.
So Tony's passion for music and creativity still as vital as ever. My thanks to Joe Stilgo for sharing his thoughts and insights into this great artist. It's been great fun, Joe.
I've loved it. It's been a dream. Thank you.
But we'll leave the final word to Tony himself.
I'm blessed with the fact that I've always known what I wanted to do in life, both singing and painting, by the way. I know so many very educated people that don't have a passion. After they get all this knowledge, they say, well, what should I do with it? And they're really frustrated. They don't have any drive to do anything. And I've always had to sing and had to paint. And it's been that way my whole life.
It was just one of those things, just one of those crazy flings, one of those bells that now and then rings, just one of those things. It was just one of those nights, just one of those fabulous flights, a trip to the moon on gossamer wings, just one of those things. If we thought of it, of the end of it, when we started to paint that town, we'd have been aware that our love affair was too hot not to cool down. So goodbye, dear and amen. Here's hoping we'll meet now and then. It was great fun, but it was just one of those things. Goodbye, 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 dear and amen. Here's hoping we'll meet now and then. It was great fun, but it was just one of those things. It was great fun, but it was just one of those things.
The one and only Tony Bennett with Cole Porter's Just One of Those Things, taken from our special programme on Tony as part of our Godfathers of Jazz series. And you can hear that full programme via the BBC iPlayer radio app. There's lots of great programmes in the BBC Music Jazz schedule, including Julian Joseph's Hour on the great pianist Herbie Hancock, and Kevin Legendre profiles the Argentinian composer, arranger and pianist Lalo Schifrin. Well, the time's almost up, but remember there's lots more jazz on BBC Radio 3 with Geoffrey Smith's Jazz tonight at midnight. And on Monday night, Jazz Now features a performance recorded at this year's London Jazz Festival from the Cadogan Hall, featuring the SF Jazz Collective playing the music of Michael Jackson. Until next time, for me, Claire Martin, bye-bye.
Claire Martin, and since Claire recorded that programme, there's been a slight change to our programmes tonight, so you can hear Geoffrey Smith half an hour later than usual at 12:30. And don't forget that all this weekend during the London Jazz Festival, the BBC has a digital pop-up station called BBC Music Jazz. It's also online, and there are plenty of jazz programmes and music to enjoy throughout the weekend. Tonight, for instance, at 8, you can hear the concert Cleo Lane and her husband Johnny Dankworth gave during the BBC Proms in 2006. A concert called From Bards to Blues. BBC Music Jazz, you can find it on digital radio or go to the BBC Music Jazz website.
We learn more about ourselves every day, how we understand our own species.
My career as an animal keeper got me interested in looking at human behaviour in a different way.
And how others see us.
Because I work with robots, I think that one day artificial intelligence will regard humans and animals alike as inferior life forms, so.
Next week, Free Thinking brings you the latest research. We'll be uncovering hidden history beneath the city streets, discovering the value of lying, and finding out why we're all just animals. Free Thinking, next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday nights at 10 o'clock, here on BBC Radio 3.
Back to tonight and later in our experimental radio series Between the Ears, you can meet the people in Liverpool who've lived in the shadow of an album released by the Beatles 50 years ago, Revolver. The story of the Fab Four has been told and told again, but for a young couple like Gwen and her ex-soldier husband Ken, or young people like Keith, the son of a bookies runner and Cavern member, the experiences of the 60s formed the basis of their lives, and it all played out to a soundtrack provided by the Beatles. Alan Hall has produced a collage of music, voices and location atmospheres that you can hear tonight in Between the Ears. Tomorrow, Never Knew, it's called, at 10 o'clock. That's after Opera on Three. It's time for a performance of Mozart's Così fan tutte, recorded last month at the Royal Opera House, Covent Garden in London, and it's introduced by Mary King.
Good evening and welcome to the Royal Opera House, Covent Garden, for this performance of Mozart's Così fan tutte. It's a new production, the first for 20 years here, by the German director Jan-Philipp Glauger. And it's also 20 years since tonight's conductor, the much-celebrated Semyon Bychkov, last performed a Mozart opera. The cast is made up predominantly of young singers making their house debuts, including the soprano Corinne Winters as Fiordaligi, the mezzo-soprano Angela Brauer as Dorabella, the tenor Daniel Behle as Ferrando, and the only one of the couples to have sung here before, the baritone Alessio Arduini as Guglielmo. The baritone Johannes Martin Krenzler, or Martin Krenzler as he prefers to be known, is also making his Royal Opera House debut as Don Alfonso, while Despina, the maid, is the soprano Sabina Puertolas. The music will start in about 10 minutes' time or so,